So we begin Siman Kufchaf.
So somewhat of a change, not so much of a change. I'll begin the base in the Shirah, in the tour, base Yosef. So the halachos of Tevilas Kalim. So Tevilas Kalim, we could probably spend 6 months doing Tevilas Kalim if you want. These questions really come up a lot. I mean, a lot of these things from the point here are questions that do come up a lot. Tevilas Kalim is one of them. Let's begin. So the tour begins by saying Hechsher Kalim Hanikchim Min Hagoyim, that you have the Hechsher of Kalim that you purchase from non-Jews. Halkeach Kalim Chadash Min Hagoy Asur Lishtanish Vim Achiyat Bilim Tvilas Hogenas below Chatzitza B'mikvah Shal Arba'im Sa. So the buying new Kalim from non-Jews, they are prohibited to use until you tovel them into a mikvah without a chatzitza in a mikvah of 40 sa.
That's a topic sentence. Hechsher kalim hanikchim.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I don't know.
Seems so.
Yeah. I don't know if you missed the manuscripts here this past Shabbos about the printings of the Talmud. So it seems like. One way or the other, I don't know. All right, so let's take a look in the so the Baha'i gets into something that I really understand it, but let's take a look in the Beis Yosef. So Keiach Chadash Min Hagoy Asur Lishtanish Bem Ashiyat Bilim Tevilas Hogenas. You can't use them until you do a proper tevila. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Beis Yosef says, Pasha, Pasuk Maseches Avodah Zarah. Yeah, it's beferish at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's like the last staff of Avodah Zarah. Maisi Midichsi Parshas Midyan, and we learn it out from what it's written by the Parsha of Midyan when they conquered the Midianites, or they defeated the Midianites in battle. So they took their kalim, and the pasuk says, Achamei Da Yischata Kolomar Mayim Shehanida Tovelas Behem. That yeah, but however, you have to purify them in Mei Nida, as if to say, water that a Nida would be able to be tovel in. The Hainu Arba'im Sa, which means that it's 40 Sa, right? So why are we doing this? The Yerushalmi tells us, Tzvila Hi, K'dishi Yatsu Mi Tuma Asu Shal Goy, like Dusha Shal Yisrael, for it to leave the Tuma of being a non-Jewish Kli to the Kedusha of being a Jewish Kli. So I kind of think about it as converting Kalim, right? You're making the Kli Jewish, right? So how do you make the Kli Jewish? So you have Jewish people and you have Jewish Kalim. So you dip it into the mikvah in order to make it Jewish. Okay, there's a long discussion here about whether a Mayan works or doesn't work. We assume that it does.
A fountain, right.
Maybe we'll see a little more on that Shulchan Aruch. Maybe, but let's skip a little bit. Beis Yosef continues on. It's actually in Beis Yosef Aleph, Aleph Beis, and Aleph Gimel. So the other two parts are a little bit more relevant. So you skip forward to Aleph Beis. That was just Aleph Aleph. So in mine, it's two pages, and then we get up to Aleph Beis. Yeah, the answer of Tevila El Lefli Matah. That's right. So one does not require Tevila except for metal kalim. So Halchi Isav Sofavod Zara. That's what it comments on in Maseches Avodah Zarah. V'taimim Mishum the Kli Matachas Omrim Le'inyan Tevila the Kli Midyan. The reason is because those are the types of vessels that are being referred to when it comes to Tevila by the Kli Midyan. Right? Achas is on. Now it doesn't just say metal there, but it actually spells it all out. And this is perhaps relevant. Moshe points out that this is very relevant. Maybe we'll do that a little bit later. But the pasuk doesn't just say dip all kalim in a all metal kalim in a mikvah. Rather, it says Lamed Aleph Chaf Beis. The full pasuk reads Achas Hazav Yes Hakesef Yes Hanchoshes Yes Habarzel Yes Habdil Yes Haufaris. Right, this you're going to do to the gold, the silver, the copper, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Right, so it doesn't actually just say metal. It for some reason feels the need to list off six metals. Whether that is all the metals, so clear that it was all the metals around that we knew of at the time. But that Ramosh is going to point out that is that has relevance. We'll get to that later on. So that's A. So number one is that it's got to be metal, and number two is that vehin tsarche hasu'uda, right? That it also has to be what we call a kli su'uda, needed for the meal. Kolomar va'od tsarich tenai acher shiyu tsarche hasu'uda, right? V'hachi isa v'sof v'odazar, right? That it needs to be for the meal. Mufarish time. The reason is mishum de kli su'uda amur b'parshas kli midyan perish dechsev kol darashi avo ba'ish. Right? Because when it says in when the way that they refer to those kalim is kalim that come in contact with fire. Right? So what kalim come in contact with fire? I can think of a few that don't have nothing to do with food, but at least in the Gemara world, we're going to say that that implies that only things having to do with food. So only things are considered a kli suda. Now that's another question. What do you mean a kli suda? How far does that go? Right? How far does that go as being a kli suda? Right? What about the ladle that you use, right, to take out the soup? Right? Or what about there is going to be a discussion later on about a shechita knife. A shechita knife does require tevila. That's not really a kli suda, right? So that any time they try to come to a definition about what a kli suda is, so they always then say, well, what about a shechita knife, right? And then you have to give a hesber as to how a shechita knife fits in. So those are the two tanayim, right? Number one, metal, and number two is that it be a kli suda. Right, and that leaves out a major category of things that we generally tovel, which is, right, we don't just tovel metal things, we also tovel
China?
Glass things. Awesome. Right,
okay, sorry.
Don't go there. But glass. So glass is discussed a little bit later on. So if you dip down, skip Dalet, there's a little bit of hay, then we go back to Aleph Gimel. Right, where he comments that the kli zechuchis klei matechus damu, that glass is considered like metal. Why? How do you see that? So b'sof avodah zarah, that's actually a beferish gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, honey kli zechuchis, these glass kelim hold v'chinishtabru yish lahen takana. That because when you break them, you can fix them like metal kelim. They're therefore considered like metal kelim. I don't have a good understanding of why that is and why it's really different than clay. I mean, how do you fix glass? Right. For instance, how do you fix glass?
Right. That's Gorilla Glass.
What? Right. So
it can be fixed, but it requires a professional.
You got to melt it down. Yeah. Right. You got to melt it down. Right. So it doesn't. That's not the same thing for kalim. I guess not for clay.
The metal doesn't break.
No, it doesn't break. So it wouldn't work.
Clay, you can't melt down, but metal you can.
Okay. So metal you can, and glass can. So different glass is comparable to metal.
Yes, you can.
So glass is comparable. Well, the Gemara thought you could. Yeah, so glass is comparable to metal, right? So therefore, glass is going to require tevila because glass acts like metal. So what else? So in the Gemara, so in the Beis Yosef continues on and says, "V'chein kli cheres hametsupim be'aver." So to a kli cheres that is coated with aver. What is aver? What is aver? So if you look up aver in a modern dictionary, it says limbs, right? So that's not what it's talking about. So I took out my Jastro today and looked up. I said, it's a good thing I still have that. So you're like, what do you need a Jastro for? You got art school, you got dictionaries, you got the Google dictionaries, right? All right, so I still have my Jastro. Aver is it's lead, right? So if it's china or clay, that's coated with lead, right? So what about that? So shame... Kunya pligi ba Rav Acha v'Ravina. So that's machlokas. Chav Amar kitchilaso, v'chav Amar kesofo. One says that you tovel based on what the original thing is, meaning it started as a clay thing before you coated it. And the other one says that no, we go by the coating, by the ending. V'hilchasa kesofo. We paskin like the sofo. Perish Rashi, kunya plomir chilaso shel cheres v'chofin oso v'chufya shel eiver. Right, that originally started off as clay and then you put on a lead outside. And we assume that that would require tevila.
Plumer is plum.
What?
Plumer is lead.
The PP.
Lead
sign
PP.
For lead.
Yeah, like a plum.
Okay.
Like on the chicken that used to be there.
The plumba. I remember plumbas. I remember plumbas.
So we have to get a shear, but they don't do plumbas anymore.
Today you have a plumba.
Oh, must we seal it? I mean,
that's all sealed.
Sealed, yeah.
Okay.
Plumba. I mean, sealed in the store. Like, you don't.
It's lead weight.
They do use, when I was at the Star K thing, so we went to the Shita house, so they use for the, that was bulls, that wasn't chickens. Only 60% of the animals on the pink kosher, so 70%. Right, so they stamp them all. They have this stamp that this ink that they put on it, and they all get the equivalent of a plumba, or probably even better than a plumba. It's actually on the animal itself. Or there's the Plumba tax, right? Of course, the Plumba riots. Not before your time. So, in the early 1900s, you can find some find out Kashrus history from the early 1900s. You'll find out about the Plumba riots.
We use lead these days.
Yeah, well, that's what I...
Lead might not be recommended. Okay, so as we turn to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Chaf says Sif Aleph Dine Tvilo Vo Tes Vav or Tes Zayin Sifim. So Hakona Meha Ovei Kuchar. So one who purchases, sorry, Kuf Chaf Sif Aleph. So, one who purchases from the non-Jews, kli su'uda shel mateches, so metal kli su'udos, o shel zechuches, or of glass, o kelim hametzufim be'ever, or kelim that are coated with lead, mibifnim, afal pi shehim chadashim, even though they're brand new, sarach lahakbilam. So you're required to total them. The mikvah, o mayan shel arbaim sa, and the mikvah or mayan that contains 40 sa. Okay, so comes the Rama, and the Rama continues on and says, "Yisharim the kelim hametzufim be'aver, right? If they're coated with lead, I feel bifnim, even just on the inside, yitbol below brachas. Then you will total them without a bracha." Okay, so all of that requires explanation. So let's take a look at the Shach. So the Shach says, "Right, if it's or glass, or kelim hametzufim be'aver." So the Shach says, "Kein sarach lemer v'haynu kli cheres v'dom lehen hametzufim be'aver." Meaning that it could be china. The Hastings code on the inside. So what's up?
So,
is it on page Rage Page Zion?
Yeah, I think it's just the Kufa.
It's a short little thing.
Okay.
Right, and then comes the Shach and says, "Amtsufim be'aver and beis," and he a couple of Roshi Tevos, and says, "Da amtsufim bezachuches dina kemtsufim be'aver." That if it's coated with glass, so then that's if it says coated be'aver, right? So that is the grounds for the big chumra today about tovel in China, right? That the China you buy, right? It's not just clay. There's some kind of coating that that appears on the outside. So there's one required to tovel that. So if you look at, I think it's definitely the Starkey website. I think at most of the Kashrus websites, they list China as something that you would tovel without a bracha, right? Because of this concern about, oh, because there's glaze on the China, it's not plain. So what is that glaze? What is it? I don't know. You can see through it, right? It's melted on, right? So that sounds a lot like glass. So maybe it's the same as glass. So maybe it should require, a tefillah. So when I learned tefillahs kalim, I learned by Rabbi Neuberger. But before him, Rav Tendler used to give the Tefillahs Kalim shir, and there was a apparently a line that he would say that that all of the, you know, you go to a Sheva Brachos and everybody's talking about how big a Talmud Chacham the Chassan, how big a Talmud Chacham the Chassan is, and then the next morning you see him bringing his china to the mikveh to tovel it, and then you find out the truth. Meaning he doesn't approve of toveling china, and most of the poskim. When I was in NYU, most of the poskim assume that one does not tovel china. What do you do with this shach? So I think if you look at older china, if you have like the really old china, so you can take a look at it, and yeah, there is a really thick glaze. Nowadays you can't even. I think what they're talking about is, you know, there is a glaze on the inside. It's part of one clay, but you can in theory take the glaze off, and the glaze would be its own clay. I mean, there would be like a glass, not an insert, but like. It was thick. It actually had, you know, it was real. This isn't real. This is just a coating that goes on top of the china. Therefore, it doesn't require tefillah. Rabbi Shmimin as well doesn't require tefillah for these kinds of things. And that has become the community kashrus policy.
Not to total. I can't remember what we did when we got married, when we got all this china.
Right.
It was the 20 years ago, 25 years.
So
2 years ago, actually.
So I. What's the big deal? So you tell people to do it. So first of all, you certainly wouldn't do it with a bracha, right? It's a huge suffix whether to do it at all. So obviously, you wouldn't do it with a bracha. So I. I was once in the Kehillah Mikvah and I saw somebody there. They took out two mugs to bring and, you know, to tovel in the Mikvah. I said, wait, why are you toveling two mugs? He said, well, my rabbi said that you should tovel China. So I said, okay, well, you're obviously not going to be making a bracha. What do you mean? Of course I'm going to be making. Why would I not make a bracha? Right? So this nuance of that you do things, you know, you do it besafek without a bracha, right? So it's difficult for people to understand. I think here on this table we've gotten to the point where we can understand such things. That you can say, oh, you do it l'chumra, but you don't make the bracha. But I can tell you, I teach on the curriculum for 6th grade girls halacha, which is now in my 3rd year of teaching, right, on the curriculum is Hilchos Tevilas Kehillim. And it takes, I'm not exaggerating, it takes a week to explain that concept. Right, every halacha, in the Kitzush, we don't use the Kitzush Shulchan Aruch, so there's about 4 or 5 halachas that are quotes there that says, do a tefillah without a bracha. Right, so just understanding that concept just takes a lot of patience to explain why in the world you would do the mitzvah, but on the other hand you wouldn't make the bracha. So setting things up in that way is difficult. So anyway, we did not tovel our china. I think the tide is shifting against tovel in china. However, there certainly are those that are machmir to tovel china.
So if you don't tovel china, the only things you have to worry about are glass.
Metal and glass.
That's it.
Right.
That's good. So everything else is plastic. Anyway.
Everything so else is plastic, right. Right, there are, I mean, I didn't bring it, I do have a Tefilas Kehillim book, where they go through material by material.
Wood is not.
So wood does not require, wood, you can kosher wood, yeah. Right, there's two different lists, right, which is also important to keep in mind. He writes here, oh no, it's in the beginning of Chuf Chuf Aleph, where he talks that where the Shulchan Aruch discusses that you should kosher before you do Tevila. Now, Meikar Din, they're really two different halachas. Like, people confuse them all the time. That's usually the first question in my quiz that I give the 6th grade girls when we finish this, is what's the difference between Haggalah and Tevilah? Right? The Haggalah is to kasher, right? And Tevilah is to make Jewish, right? So the halachas don't match up, and there's a few other times that make reference, and don't get confused, they don't match. I think we're going to cover Pesachei Tshuva soon, that points that out, that points out that Tevilah is different than Haggalah.
It's a little confusing because I think in the Chumash, sort of intermingled.
Right. The parties go together. They're all learned out from Kli Midyan.
This may nida drash is odd. Because most of the time when the Torah says may nida, it's talking about the waters of the river.
Right. So there is a big machlokas you're sure about whether it's the rice or the rabban. Right. That is, there's a big question whether it's deraisa or derabanan. We, I think, lemaisa, we assume that it's deraisa. There's a further question about the fact that one shouldn't use kelim until they go to the mikvah, whether that's deraisa or derabanan. So that I think most assume is a din derabanan. Right? So it's deraisa, it's a mitzvah deraisa to do, but the fact that you can't use your kelim until you use it is only a din derabanan. We'll get up to that.
So Haggalah is definitely deraisa, but it's tevila that's the question.
That Haggalah, for sure, Haggalah has to work. Haggalah is working at a level of deraisa, right?
There's,
yeah.
Right, you don't say bracha on that.
You don't make a bracha on Haggalah Kelim. There's no mitzvah to do Haggalah Kelim. Right? You should trace up Kelim in order to have the opportunity to do Haggalah. Right? But there is a.
You to get them from going.
Then you would, then there's an obligation to do Haggalah. Right? There's also no mitzvah to do Shechita. Probably.
You say bracha.
You do? Yeah. Question: there's no positive. There's a mitzvah that when you need meat, so you have to do shechita. But there's no mitzvah to actively search out cows in order to slaughter them, right? This last week's parasha, there's a big machlokas about whether there is a machlokas to search out birds in order to chase them away from their eggs. That's a machlokas that's out there. But we generally don't seek out animals in order to shech them. Okay, so we did that shach, the shach days, shach yud aleph. Shach Gimel, which is
Associate Shomer,
but skip to Dalin. Dalin. Yeah, so Yitbol below Brachas. So what's he telling you to do Tevila without a Bracha on? So he's talking about Kelim that have this coating on the inside.
I'm not sure I'm following that coating on the inside business. What does that mean?
That this glaze, right, what they're talking about is a glaze that one would have to tovel on that is only on the inside of the pot and not on the outside of the pot.
Oh, the inside, okay. Of the bowl, on the inside of the material,
the outside
it's
of the
on
bowl.
The inside
yeah.
of the pot.
Yeah, the
right.
Interior.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what the Shach describes here, right? So Mordechai Kasa Vashem Harav, right? The Filu Einu Mitzufa El Mibuchutz. That even if it's only on the outside, Be'ever Yit Belenu, below Bracha. That would also require to view without Bracha, and we view Beis Yosef, the Darki Moshe, Chazav Pach, Yishlikmo, Al Minoga Olam, Shemishdamshim, Bekaderus, Hamachupim, Be'ever Mibifnim, below Tfila Klal. And the Shach says, I don't understand why people aren't Machmir on this, right? Apparently, they weren't so Machmir on it then. He said, I don't understand why people are Machmir on it. And the Shach adds in one more thing here, and the next one below bracha. So he adds in v'nir diyesh lafilin is a kliyaka rebracha, that the best thing to do would be to have several kelim that you're bringing. One kli would be metal or glass, and you for sure would be making a bracha on that. And then you bring the other things along with it, and that way it's even covered under a bracha. So that's a general good rule when it comes to tefillas kelim. Now there are a couple more interesting.
So just to be clear, the business about the coating on the inside. If it's lead or glass, then it needs.
So he's saying, right? Yes.
Then it needs tefillah.
Yes. So what I'm pointing out is that what many are. That's the din. I admit that's the din. But so some say, well, and what about today's China where there's this like coating of something there? Right, so maybe that's like what the Shach was talking about. Therefore, we make a bracha. So that's what I'm pointing out. I don't think that one is required to be machmir for that. Right?
Yeah, the plate. I mean, the china is. I guess they have china bowls or something, but the coating is on the inside and the outside.
Yeah. No, it's okay if it's on the outside.
No, the Shach just said about the outside also. He thinks the outside will also. If you have a coating only on the outside or a coating only on the inside, that would be a problem. Why is that, by the way? Why is that? Because the coating that is like its own kli. In theory, you could take the china out. You could scrape it out and you'd be left with a glass thing, right? But I don't think that makes sense with our china. I think that exists in the year 2014. At least those that are being purchased by
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right, on wedding wedges registries around the world. But I think if the Shach was live today and saw our china, he went to Bed Bath & Beyond and he asked him, "What is this? Is this a clay?" Clay, or is this a clay clay with a glass glaze? So I think the Shach would say, "That's a clay clay. Give me a break." So you should have seen the clay kalim 500 years ago. In my day, when I was young, they had really thick. That's what the Shach would say. And the Shach would say, "I'm still young. I died young. He was like 40 or something." Okay. So the Piskei Tshuva. On the bottom, there's pretty much all the Piskei Tshuva are going to be pretty important over the course of this. It's all the Maisa, but the Piskei Tshuva says a bunch of things. So first of all, Kli Suda. So how do you figure out Kli Suda? Aleph. So Piskei Tshuva Aleph.
Okay.
Right. So he says Kasa b'Sefer Chachmas Adam. So Hayoros Hagdolos Shemavashlim Bo Shechar. Okay. So what about the big barrels that they use for cooking, or I'm not sure, cooking for fermenting the beer, right? So those big barrels, do they require tevila? I guess assuming that they're metal, right? So nirali the tzrichim tevila. So the Chachmas Adam says, yes, I think so. V'yachal pisha kovamotam umechabrin lekarka. He says even though they are like left there, shakovamotam, they're like connected to the ground. Mikol makom dino kli. They're considered kli. They're considered kalim. Ve'in lehem takana elashi yitbelu. And there's no way of getting them good unless you tovel them. O yinkov behem nekev gadol sheyispatul mitoras kli. Or you can do the following: you can knock a hole in it, make it not a kli anymore. Va'achar kach yitakein uman yisrael. Then hire a Jew to fix it, and then we'll be good. He says, however, I heard that when the beer comes out of those barrels, it's not really edible yet. You have to then misaninin oso. You have to filter it or something. Right? There's still more of the process that you need to do. Says, perhaps that's what the olam is somechan when they're not tovelit. Right? So what's going on here? Right? You have these big barrels that are a real pain in the neck to bring to the kelim mikvah.
Those don't even fit. I mean,
Right, and you'd have to find a big enough kela mikvah. You'd have to find an industrial size kela mikvah to bring it to, or maybe like the ocean, right? So that's a big problem. So the Chacham Sanan says, well, I mean, it is a kli, right? You could pick it up, and it's separate from the ground. It is a kli. It is metal. You know, it's used for food. It sounds like it should require tevila. I don't know what your way out is unless you knock a hole in it. He says, however, maybe the hefter would be that it's not a kli suda, right? What does it mean that it's a kli suda? That as soon as it comes out of there, it's already edible. So I heard it's not really edible when it comes out of there. So because it's not really edible when it comes out of there, so maybe that's why people aren't machmir on toveling those types of those kelim. We call Malcolm, he says, Sharei lo gara misachin shel shchita. But then he jumps in and says, but wait a second, it shouldn't seem like it's any less than a shchita knife. Kivin sheroi lishtamish po Michael ach, shlemishtamish po Michael acher. Ayin besifro bin azadam od mizeh. He says, which you are fit to use for food, for other types of food. I mean, you could use it for other types of food. So maybe these kelim could also be used for other types of food. Alright, so Tzarachim, right? So he asks that question, but he says perhaps that's what people are so mechan when it comes to toveling or not toveling. There are other kulas as well. But this is obviously a big issue when it comes to the kashrus industry about how to deal with these things. Yes. What about if they're plugged in? What about if those types of things? Yeah.
So since the beer is considered not to ready to eat, it's okay. And what was the other hector?
No, that was the hector.
Okay.
That's the other idea. You can do that. So that does happen, from what I understand. I
mean,
it's
like what happens is, let's say a beer that's not kosher. There's no beer. It's not really not kosher. But let's say they want to get the OU
right.
Go under OU certification. Well, what do they do with the pots?
Well, it has to, first of all, it's only if it's a Jewish-owned company. Right, that this whole siman is only an issue for Jews.
Right.
Right, we were at the Star Cave thing.
So you can have a non-Jew making the
Depends who owns it. It's the owner of the clay. So we were at the Star Cave thing. So Rabbi Kurtzfeld, who was one of the big high up people in the Star Cave, so he said whenever he does a business or whenever he does like an intake interview or he meets with an owner or whatever like that, he'll always say that I don't even call it a joke, but I make the same line. It's worked for me for 30 years, and I'll tell you what it is. I say to the guy, hey, you know, Chang, you know, or whoever it is, they're going to tell you, you really look Jewish. and the guy will usually respond, like, oh, come on, Rabbi, that's ridiculous, or whatever. So that's, and sometimes they'll say, well, you know, actually, my uncle, my aunt, right, or the partner, right? Oh, and sometimes those kinds of answers will come out. So they think that they're actually, they're helping themselves by saying they're Jewish, right? really, they're hurting themselves by saying they're Jewish. But now all of a sudden, you got to worry about tefilas kelim, and you got to worry about what else? You got to worry about challah. You got to worry about selling your chametz. Right? There's a whole bunch of other things that you need to worry about once you're a Jewish owner. So, anyways, so that's Aleph. So, what does it say in Beis? So, in Beis it says Zechukas. So, what are we talking about when it comes to Zechukas? So, Ayin B'She'elis Yavitz. Who wrote the Yavitz? Yes, very good. Yaakov Ben Tzvi. You have his autobiography in Hebrew. The Megillah Sefer?
In English.
You have it in English?
Yeah, someone gave it.
Recently?
Yeah, in the last couple of years. I'm trying. It's, as Reverend Lyman once said, he's a misanthrope. And he really was.
It's what?
He's a misanthrope.
Misanthrope?
He doesn't like people.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, anyways. One of our many interesting characters of our history. So, I am Sh'elis Yavitz, Chelek Aleph, Siman Samech Zayin, Shekasav Tekilim Habayim Mimedinas Hayam Shenikrim. What's that word?
Porcelain.
Right, so what about porcelain? So I wanted to look up exactly what porcelain was, but it's like porcelain is like a glass and clay mixture or something like that.
There's
metal in it. V'domen l'kli zechuchas. It's like metal. It's like glass. And doesn't require tefillah. Why? L'fi she'adu she'asiyasan min hachol u'min hadama u'kli matechos. That it's from dirt and dirt,
sand,
dirt, and klimatechos, and metal. That's talking about we're meparsha of afal gav the shiye tfei leislan, even though it doesn't have that much. Right here, shiye, I think sand. I think sand, even though it doesn't have that much sand, leislan ba daha kli zechuchis shi tfei minayu. However, when it comes to the kli zechuchis, there's more sand. However, and if not for the fact that if you could break it, you'd be able to fix it, it would be considered like metal. These you can't fix. So he says that, maybe you can compare this to glass. You could say porcelain is like glass. However, the only reason glass is chayiv in tevila is why? Because glass acts like metal. Right? Because glass, you can break it down and build it up again, so it's going to be like metal. He says you can't do it with porcelain. Porcelain, once it breaks, it's broken. So he says, so it might be that glass, and maybe porcelain is like glass, but it's not that much like glass, and therefore, because it doesn't fit the characteristics of glass that make it chayv for tevila, he thinks isn't that it, porcelain is not going to be chayv.
Isn't it like China? China, so porcelain, I think, is from Korea.
Okay. Could be.
But it says that there's metal.
There is metal in it, but it says bottle. Right? Bottle, yeah. So tsarach lahat bilam. So you need to tovel these things. So kasav sefer chachmas adam sham din tesvav tsarach shiyachnis kol kli b'mayim pam achas shul yishar mimenu chutz l'mayim afilu kol shehu. You have to get all that water. So he's discussing what does tevila mean. You have to get the whole thing underwater at one time. Afilu kol shehu, right? And they can't even get a tiny amount up. And if it's so big that you're not able to tovel it, even at once, nearly the aser. Well, you can't tovel it half and half, right? Dumya tevilas nida, because you require it to be similar to the tevila of a woman. It's not like hagala, shehula haflita iser v'kimicha hagala mixes harei hiflit, right? That you could do it half and half, because as soon as the iser is out of one, it's out, and right, etc. Right? It's not like that, right? So rather, harei hiflit, aval hacha, Mishum tuma became a chenisha mixes vimena chutz l'mayim chozer mefashet b'chol akli. So here, because some of it has been left out, so the kli wasn't toveled, and then it spreads again. It's as if it never went down. So the whole thing has to be toveled at once. Yes.
The sefer is quoting from
the Chachmas Adam.
Is that the
Chai Adam? Yes, same person. Sefer on
the Chachmas Adam.
Chachmas Adam is on your day.
So that's
from Danzig. Yeah, so it's the same Avram Danzig.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Sabalski told us there's no real reason. Anybody goes to the mikvah, even when women go to the mikvah, there's no reason to go more than once. The cost of my women's are to go to dip three times. There's really no reason to. that has become the minhag. So if you go to the Ari's mikvah, right, so they tell you got to go seven times. If you go well, you go seven times. So Sabalski told us that he went to the Ari's mikvah. He said, all right, he's in the Ari's mikvah, he should do it seven times. So I'm going to do it in the Litvish fashion. I'm going to go under. Just pick my hand up seven times in order to get the seven. Okay, so let's see. There's one more Pesach Tshuva.
So why is Hagala different than?
So it's Hagala is a fact. I mean, the way I see it, Hagala is based on physics, or at least Torah land physics. Right, that you have to kasher the kli, so the kli could be kashered piece by piece. You don't have to do the whole thing at once. So you do half, and you do the other half. Right, you're okay because you're just getting stuff out of the kli. You're doing the thing. Right, this has to do with tumah v'tahara, and the way a mikvah works is that you have to be kulo mikvah. So whenever you're talking about tumah v'tahara, you require the whole thing to be in the mikvah. So that's also right. It's confusing. So then one more. So the mikvah b'mayim. So kasav here b'sefer chachmas adam din diatest nirali the b'shas hadchak mutter litful kli zechuchis b'sheleg. In theory, he says you could. He matters taking a glass kli and dipping it in the snow. If all the snow is in one place. Right, so if you have your snow on your lawn, so Yematir is B'shasachak, maybe B'shasachak would include there's a blizzard outside and I need to use the glass, right, to tovel it all there. Right? Why? So he says, because the tvilasam was the tvila of glass is certainly only derabanan. Right? So that's his starting point. About lo kli matechos, right? But not metal klis, the laharbi poskim huminatar, because many, and I would say most, assume that tovling metal is deraisa. So he's mesupik whether the snow should work. So because he's mesupik, I'll allow it in the case of a derabanan, but not in the case of a derabanan, but not in the case of deraisa. So I'll allow you to do the metal there, we're not going to allow you to do the...
How does the snow work at all?
So why does snow work at all? Because snow is collected rainwater.
You don't have to worry if it's 40
saw or not.
Hold on.
But
if it's continuous,
it must be enough. If it's able to be submerged in the snow, there it must be enough. Snow.
Right, and it has to be continuous to other spots. I mean, it is our stories. In Arizona, they did it in the Reform Shul's mikvahs. I don't know if they did it properly. But there are city. I think Tucson's mikvah had to be filled, or Las Vegas's mikvah. Those had to be filled by trucking in ice from up north. And they trucked in. I can't imagine doing the order on this, but they trucked in ice, and there's a whole other dinim about how to do it. There's a case not just down south, but up way north. I think in the OU magazine had an article a couple of years ago from the rabbi in Nova Scotia that they had a problem with their mikveh there. They had to get the water there, and there the issue is not that it doesn't rain. The issue is that it's 20 below zero, and it's freezing. You can't get there, so they had to get instructions about how to fill the mikvah but it requires a lot more. I mean, you don't just fill the mikvah with snow and wait for it to melt. You'll be left with what's about. You have to like keep it.
Because the snow's lighter.
The snow's much lighter, right?
10 foot less. 10
right.
Inches of snow is 1 inch of rain.
But ice is a little bit more, less dense than water.
Right, and then he adds in one more thing. He quotes here from the Mishnah of Yaakov that he prohibited Shehev Rabosav Sha'asu Lahatpil Kalim Bibbe'er, that he didn't allow them to be tovel their kalim in the well. Why? Because when people draw the water and the water drops back in, right, so that becomes mayim she'uvim. And that would be a problem. The truth is, I don't understand why that's an issue, because you're never going to have less. Well, it depends on the well, I guess. Presumably, you're never going to have the water. The base water is always going to be more than 40 saw. It's always going to, right? And once the water comes out and drop back in, so then you should be fine. So I don't really understand what the issue is here. But he was concerned.
Once you have 40 saw, you can put in much.
What?
Once you have 40 saw.
Right. Once you have 40 saw, it shouldn't be a problem. We're gonna the next sif, which I guess we'll do the next sif, which we're gonna do next week, is even more. It gets even more confusing because it talks about when you hold the kli, when you dip it in. So how tight? You can't hold it that tightly because you can't have a chatzitza, right? So you have to have water in between. So then there's a whole issue about the water. That the water should be mikvah water. Why should be mikvah water? Once it goes into the mikvah, it becomes mikvah water. So that's very complicated, a very massive taz over there. So that's what that taz is discussing. All right, so maybe we'll stop. So who wrote it?